Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. This is Joe and Ainge, and we're back with another Mailbag Monday podcast.
Hey, remember, everybody, that you can submit your questions by direct messaging us on Facebook or Instagram. Or you can email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com. Just type the podcast question on the subject line.
So let's go ahead and let's jump in and look at some of the questions that we've gotten.
All right. The first question is, I've always been a private person, mostly because I don't think people need to know all about my personal life. My wife, however, isn't that way, and she'll tell you her entire life story. For one thing, she talks to her mom way too much, and it doesn't help that her mom wants to know everything about everybody. Because my wife isn't doing anything intentionally, it's hard to get her to see that she needs to zip it. Any suggestions?
Yeah, we're going to have a meeting. We're going to have to get together. These are just two different types of personalities that usually end up getting, you know, coming together in marriage. Opposites attract. And you got to sit down and lay out the guidelines, you know. When you're a single person by yourself, you've got your own standard. There's things you will do and there's things you will not do because of the way you were raised or what you were taught, because you've been in church all your life. You have a preset standard. But when then two people get together, you're going to have a disagreement. That's why your opposites attract. So almost every time you have a conversation, well, I don't see that, and I don't see that. So you have to begin to talk and engage. That's why you have one mouth and two ears. One mouth, two ears. You got to listen more than you speak. But this is really good because this happens to almost every couple. I mean, even when I grew up, you know, our mothers were stay-at-home moms, and but they're talking all day long to somebody over the back fence, out the clothesline, in the backyard, on the phone. You talk to your mother, your sister, your cousin. You told everything. There were no secrets. You know, that's what I liked about family reunion. Everybody told everything. But all of a sudden, life began to change, and we got the media thing, world changed. Everybody's got an iPhone. News travels incredibly fast. Mm-hmm. So you need to learn how to be slow to speak, quick to hear. Slow to speak and quick to hear. So you got to sit down as a husband and wife. And I tell every couple this. We have a pre-marriage questionnaire we take them through. And we give it to them and say, listen, guys, I'm not going to read this. You're going to fill out one, sir, ma'am. You're going to fill out one. You do this before you get married. This is going to ask you a lot of questions. You know, what is your real hair color? What's your real eye color? Have you ever been married before? It's a lot of personal stuff. But eventually we get to questions about how you problem solve. How do you think you'd handle this problem? How would you handle that problem? So what would happen is, so guys would say, well, I'll do that. And the lady would say, well, you can't do that. Well, we're going to do this. And even just pre-marriage counseling, you know, talking just briefly, you can get them in an argument real quick. You realize you are two completely opposite people. Right. So we tell couples, when you sit down before you get married, here's what we will do and won't do. And you're not going to cover everything, but you get in the habit of, we need to talk before we do this. Mm-hmm. You know, next time, you can't tell your mother everything that's going on in our personal life. That's not right. The Bible says when you get married, a man leaves his father and mother. So does a wife. You leave your parents. You become one with your spouse. And so there are certain things between a spouse, between spouses, you shouldn't share with anybody else. Not your mom, not your dad, not your grandparents. And what happens, you're going to create and you may not mean anything bad by it. You say, well, you know what he did the other day? You know what she said the other day? All of a sudden, you're going to have people that are a third party going to get mad at your spouse because of something you said.
Right.
You didn't mean that, but it can get bad in a hurry.
Well, I do completely agree with you, and you especially need to set boundaries around your family, because sometimes you can tell something and then you're over it and the family is still stewing on it.
Thank you.
And and then you go over for Thanksgiving and they slam the door in your spouse's face.
Yeah.
However, I would like to say that that probably is one of the things that attracted you to her. The fact that she was an open book.
Yes.
And you were raised a little bit different. So she has to have an outlet.
Yeah.
And and it's going to be more than just you. I remember when I first got married, I moved from my family from Florida to Washington State, and I didn't know anybody. And so finally, over time, I gained a couple of friends, and they're still friends of mine to this day. And as a young married couple, I was going through things and needed somebody to talk to. I needed an outlet. And you know that just us talking to each other, they were trusted friends. There wasn't a lot. There's actually two. And to this day, we are friends. And so it was a safe place for me to open up and share some things that maybe I needed to bounce off of them, things that I was going through as a young wife. And so she has to have an outlet. You can't just – if you totally, you know, block her, it's going to discourage your heart. So, so you know, maybe you could just kind of curve it in a different
direction.
Well,
it's no different than driving down the interstate. If it says it's 65 mile an hour, don't do 75. Somebody did a study that it's safe to drive 65 on this particular highway. If it's 45, somebody did a study and said this highway is only safe at 45 mile an hour. No different getting married. There's some things, this is safe right here and this is not safe. Don't do this. If you violate this, nothing bad is going to happen right now, but eventually you're going to get a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to go to court.
Right.
You're going to get other people involved in what you were doing privately.
Yeah.
You're driving 65 and a 45, you're going to have to stand up in front of a judge and a lot of other people that are in your community one day, and it's going to be embarrassing. So try to settle it yourself, but just sit down and talk to honey.
Yeah.
We don't want to share that. You know, if we need to talk, you know.
Just kind of guide it because, I mean, just through love. I mean, it's just like, hey, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable with you sharing all about our sex life with your mom.
Yep.
That makes me uncomfortable when I have to see her the next day.
Yes,
So, you know, and let her see it, how it plays out over the long term. I mean, this isn't just something – you're not in high school anymore.
No.
So the rules have changed. Somebody else – the two have become one, and you have to take that into consideration.
And those rules will constantly change. Yes. I used to tell people, you know, I was married for 45 years. Every year was different because we matured. We thought different. This will work this year. This didn't work last year.
Right.
This is a different year. There's a difference there. Kids were older. Kids were getting out of the house. Other people being involved. It's like, okay, we're going to have to constantly – every couple ought to sit down once a week for 30 minutes, have a cup of coffee, and just talk.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going this last week? Would you like – would you not like? Out there, just be real carnal. Just real calm. Sit down.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think about this last week? Man, this was a mess. Boy, we had to do this and this. Yeah, I know it. And you'll probably agree about 90% of the time. But this happened. I didn't like that. I didn't know you didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I tell a lot of time people laugh about how I took my wife to a seafood restaurant for 30 years. And because that's what my dad did. And 30 years in, I had all my kids at a nice restaurant down in Florida on vacation. And my wife looked at me and said, Joe, is this a good seafood restaurant? I said, yeah, 5-star. She said, why? I said, I just realized something. I said, what? I don't like seafood. I said, well, I've been taking it for 30 years. Yeah, I just figured you never could find a good one. And people laugh, but that's a very serious thing. There are things that you will find out about your spouse 20 years from now you don't know today.
Right, right.
And so you just got to stay open and be real calm, quick to hear, and slow to speak. There it is again.
Yes, yes. Okay, so let's go to the next question. I've noticed my child starting to lie more and more, and most of the time it is about senseless stuff. He's not necessarily trying to lie his way out of trouble. He's just lying for no apparent reason. I want to teach them, but I'm unsure how to do it effectively. I punish him, but my approach is obviously not working. I've even considered a child psychologist. I'm at my wit's end. I need help before I'm the one needing the psychologist.
I think every child goes to this to some degree, some certainly more than others, where they realize, hey, I can say something and they believe it. Hey, I can tell this story and they believe it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they realize, hey, I'm on a roll. I'm in control. I may be the youngest kid in the house, might be the youngest one, but I can control these people. But eventually you find out your lie's going to find you out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what we did, I just went through because I taught parenting for years, and I'd get these questions. I'd tell them, how do you get my kid to stop lying? I said, well, number one, you'd stay real calm and tell them, said, hey, you know, I just went through the Bible and wrote all the scriptures of what happens to liars, you know. And the biggest one was Revelation, you know, outside the pearly gate in heaven are liars. Liars go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real blunt. And kids just stare and say, you know, do you want to go to hell? You should be lying. And so, people, you trying to scare him? Said, no, but I would go back through and said, the Bible says truth sets you free. You know, your best friend is somebody who will tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
All the great things that happen when people tell the truth. And so what you want to try to tell your child is you don't want to scold and point out the bad. You're trying to lean them toward the good. You know, if you start telling the truth, your life's going to go really good.
Yeah.
People fired for lying. People, you get divorced because they lied. People have to do bad things that happen because they lied. Nothing good happens when you lie, ever. I used to tell my kids, it's a tunnel you're going to dig. There's no shortcut out of it. Right. You've got to come right back out of the same hole you dug to make it. So you just kept trying to encourage, you know, I don't have to follow you around. If you're lying, your lie will find you out.
Well, you know, I think you're right. Every kid does go through a certain stage where they do that. I remember my daughter, if you passed gas – or she passed gas. She would never accept responsibility. She said, it wasn't me. It wasn't me, you know, and we'd all have to pretend like it wasn't her, all the while knowing it was her. But I'm sorry, Nicole, that she was little when she did that. But one of the biggest things that I did for my son when he was little, I didn't treat my kids as if they were, you know, idiots. I treated them as little people.
Yes.
And I remember saying to my son over and over again, I would say, the greatest thing you can give me is your word. I trust that your word is true. If you tell me on your word that you're going to do this, or if this is the truth, I will trust you. I will totally believe you. Yes. And trust you. But if you break your word, that's huge to me, because that is the greatest gift you can give me. Do you know that to this day, and he's 26, if I say to him, on your word, is that the truth? Or on your word, will you do that? He will think about it before he answers. He's very slow.
Very good.
You know, an example was one day we went into a Walmart, and you know, as seen on TV stuff, everybody, you know, I get sucked into the aisle every time I go to Walgreens. I mean, I just stand there and stare, and I need every bit of it. But they had this stuff called Mighty Putty. I'll never forget it. And you twisted it in your hands, and then it was supposed to stick like, you know, the ultimate glue. So someone goes, ooh, Mighty Putty. I want to get some Mighty Putty. He was probably 12 or 13. And I go, okay, well, you can have that Mighty Putty if on your word, when you get home, you are going to fix that broken shelf with that Mighty Putty. He goes, yeah, sure. So we walk around Walmart a few more minutes, and I see him put that Mighty Putty back on the shelf. And I go, no, you gave your word. Give it back here. So I think you need to instill in them the consequences or the results of and how important this is. So, I mean, I would sit down with him and get eyeball to eyeball and say, you know, this is – your word is valuable. It's valuable as you become a man. And just let them see it from that point of view as well.
You have to – you know, and we won't do it here on the program, but – I would use real things in the news. People that caught lying, politicians,
yeah,
business people have been caught, fired.
The consequences
of lying.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing good happens to a liar. There are no good things that happen to a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the easiest thing to do because the lightning bolt doesn't hit you immediately. It's
right.
Like it won't even cloud up. You know, you can get away with it for weeks and all of a sudden. But be sure your sin will find you out. Lying is a sin. It's going to catch you.
Yeah.
So we're trying to live a good life and live a long life and have people honor us and like us. And every time you leave somebody, you leave them better than you find them. But all of a sudden, you lie to somebody, and that will spread like a gasoline fire.
Yeah.
Hey, Biddy Bob, he'll lie to you. Man, you don't hire him. You don't want him as a friend. He'll lie about you. He'll tell stories about you. She'll tell this about you. And nobody likes a liar. And so we're just trying to paint a good picture. Here's what we want to become. We want to tell the truth and be honest and upfront. Good things happen to those people. Bad things happen to the other.
Yeah, and, you know, that is so instilled into my son. When he was 15, he went to see his dad. And I just want you to see is if you just keep that. And I would say that to my son two or three times a week. We would get eyeball to eyeball, and I'd say that to him. When he was 15, he flew to see his father. And he's about 14. He's almost 15. And it was just at the time when, you know, you have to pay for someone to escort your kid. And he was like 2 or 3 months shy of being able to do it on his own, where he could just fly without the escort, and he just did not like it. And of course, you know, I got it, but still, I paid the $60, got the escort and everything. We got up to his dad, and his dad's like, "Hey, just go ahead and tell him that you're 15 or six. I think it was 15. Just go ahead and tell him." So I had put that into him so much that his son, and he gets all red and blotchy. He cannot lie, so he gets up to the gate. And the lady goes, "How old are you?" And he goes, 15 or whatever the age was. And he's all blotchy and all. And she goes, "Really?" And he goes, "I'm not going to lie to you. I just lied to you." And the lady starts rolling laughing. She goes, you look like something was wrong. And of course, you know, they had to go back and pay the amount and all. And so, but I'm so glad that that is so instilled into him that he will not. Now, there's times I kind of wished he would kind of not tell the whole truth. I'm like, you know, son, don't tell everything. But no, it works.
Yes.
If you instill that in them, you know.
Yes.
But I know it can be frustrating. And some kids do it more than others. I had a nephew that would go to the grocery store and he was an only child and he'd tell you. He had 12 brothers and sisters, and he could tell you every name, age, and everything. And he would just whoppers. He had whoppers, but he did grow out of that stage. But I mean, he had good whoppers. He was really good at it. But hang on, Mom. You'll get it.
Yeah, you will.
All right. Well, that wraps up this week's podcast. Remember to get those questions in by direct messaging us on Facebook or Instagram, or just send your questions to mail@joemcgeeministries.com.
Thanks, everybody, for the great questions. Make sure to tell your friends about the podcast so they get blessed, too. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be right here.
We love you guys.
Love you guys. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it. All there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.